Amen. How's everyone doing this morning? Isn't that great worship? Yeah, that was great worship. Wouldn't you guys agree with me? Yeah, you get it for Frankie. Can we just give it up one more time for our worship team? They're doing a great job. We're going to begin our second part of our series, Fear Less. And we understand that in this series, we're not trying to teach you how to be fearless, because we understood last week that being fearless is impossible. Fear is a natural reaction. It will come into your life. And when the Bible says, do not be afraid, never in the Bible does it say, do not feel afraid. So in fear, we're going to learn how to fear less in your life. So if you're joining us for the first time here in church, I want to thank you for being here. Can we just give a round of applause for our first-time guest today for being here? And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse 30. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 30. Can we stand in reverence for the word of the Lord today? It says, Lot went up to Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he was afraid to stay in Zoar, and he stayed in a cave. The firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man on earth. Ladies, you feel like that today if you're single? There's not a man on earth? Well, you might relate to these girls. The firstborn said to the younger, our father is old. There's not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine. Let us lay with him, that we may preserve our family through our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and laid with her father. And he did not even know when she laid down or when she arose. And following day, the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink and wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father. So they made him their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and laid with him, and he didn't even know when she laid down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn born a son and called him Moab, and the father of the Moabites to this day. As for the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Benjamin. Notice this. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. And I'm going to explain what's going on here, but let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for what we're about to learn as we begin this journey on how to fear less in our life. I pray today, Lord, that you will bless us, teach us, and apply this word to our daily living. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You guys can have a seat as we get into the Word of God today. I began to read this story, and what got me by surprise is that we read about these two sisters who have gone through a traumatic experience. We talked about this weeks ago, but these two ladies were a part of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read a few weeks ago how God destroyed this city. But before he destroyed this city, there were these two girls, Lot's daughters, and they were pledged to be married to these two other guys. And when you were pledged to be married in that time, it meant that you were technically already married, but the marriage wasn't consummated or official yet. So what happened is that while they were getting ready for this big day, this was a time for that 1 year. They planned the wedding. The man would leave on a journey. He would prepare the house. He would get everything ready for his new life with his wife. So this was an exciting time. Can you imagine if you're this young girl? This year was an exciting year because you knew that at the end of this year, you were going to be married. You were going to have a family of your own. Your life was going to start, because in the Hebrew culture, a woman's life started like a man's life started when they got officially married. That's when you really said, now I'm living my life. So these two young girls, they had it all planned out. They had the wedding planned out, where they were going to live, who they were going to marry. Everything was ready, and they had no idea that that very day, that year, Sodom and Gomorrah would be destroyed. They had no idea that God would punish Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins and their wickedness, and among those people were the two men that these two daughters were going to marry. So they had no idea, no expectation that all their plans, everything they thought their life was going to look like, everything that they imagined, everything that they purposed and planned out together was completely over. So now we see that Lot's daughters, they were experiencing disappointment like we talked about last week. Lot's daughters were about to get married. They thought, this is the guy I'm going to marry. This is the man I'm going to have children with. And they had no idea that God had other plans and God was about to close that door. And what they thought was going to happen was not what God had in mind. And it proves a point what the Bible says. Man plans his course, but God determines the end. See, we all have this natural ability to plan our lives and our future and our course for our direction. But the reality is, God already mapped out your life. You know that as you sit right now, God has marked every day of your life. And sometimes that means that my plans, your plans, may not always align with God's plans. So their dreams of being wives and their dreams of being mothers and that dream of being married to that person in one day was gone. And maybe you're here today and you can relate to that type of story, because all of you maybe can look back in your life and think about one day, one moment, and one event that changed the course of your life forever. And maybe that was a mistake you made. Maybe it was something that someone did. Or maybe it was a choice you made. But all of us can recall a moment that our plans did not happen. In fact, maybe here today, you're not living the life you thought you would be living. Maybe you're not living the life you expected. Maybe you're not living the life you yourself planned out. Maybe when you were in high school, in middle school, after college, whatever. You're saying, Pastor, that's exactly where I am right now. I never expected to be divorced. I never expected to be sick. I never expected to be unemployed. I never expected to lose this person. I never expected to have all these plans fall apart. So now we have these two girls, Lot's daughters, and their dreams and hopes and expectations in one day had completely diminished. And notice what happened here. See, I believe that fear came into play in verse 31. Let's go back to verse 31. And the firstborn is always the troublemaker. When the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old. Notice this exaggeration. There is not a man on earth. Was that true? No. But sometimes when we go through such a traumatic experience, we can have this extreme look at life. And you might be this extreme. You might be saying like, there's no one on this world. There's no one in Miami. I'll never get married. I'll never have a job. I'll never do this. I'll never. And maybe you're believing something that's really not true. Because of what they experienced, they had convinced themselves there was not a single man on earth. But the reality is, there was plenty. But see, they made this mistake that often we make. You guys ready for this one? It's hard. They thought the world ended because their husbands had died. And I wonder today if there's something or someone in your life that's become your world that's not God. We make the mistake of making someone our world. We make a job our world. And when I mean by world, it means the center of your life. It's that thing or that person that reminds you you're valuable, you have worth, and it means that you have purpose and identity. And maybe in this life you're living, something or someone has become your world other than God. And I see this all the time. A hobby, a relationship, a child, a spouse can become your world. So when that world ended, when their husbands died or their fiancés, whatever you want to call them, When they died, a part of them died. Because everything that those two girls were living for was those two men they thought they would marry. And I'm wondering today, how many things in your life or people have you made your world? It's that thing or person that brings you joy. Without this, I have no security. Without that, I have no purpose. Without them, I have no self-worth. Then that's where your world is. And we have this fear of losing it. Let me give you an example of this. Just this week, I walked into my house and I saw my mom and she had tears in her eyes. And I said, what happened? I thought something bad had happened. These little tears, little like shiny little eyes. I knew something. She was crying. And I said, Mom, what happened? She goes, nothing. I was just thinking, what am I going to do the day wiener dog is gone? True? Say amen, Mom. Hasn't happened yet. But then she said something. She says, this dog is my world. I don't know what I'd do without him. And I wanted to judge her, but then I saw this beautiful cat. And I said, you're my world. I don't know what I'd do without you. Can we be honest in church and not lie before God? But how many of you, by a show of hands, might maybe have something or someone that might be your world that's not God? Come on. It's okay to admit it. We're going to fix it. The reality is, maybe you're here today and a friend or a dog or a cat or a child or a job or a relationship or a dream or a desire has become your world. Here's the problem with this and why this world is messed up the way it is because we're trying to live a life making something or someone the center that belongs to God. And the truth is that when that very thing goes that is your world, so goes your world. And you fall apart. So whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, a hobby, a pet, whatever it is, the reality is that we can be tempted to make something or someone or a dream or a desire the reason we have purpose and joy and security and self-worth. But here lies the problem. Only God can give you true joy, true security, true purpose, and self-worth. So what happens is when you go to something or someone to find what only God can give you, the search continues. Here's a mistake that they made. They made those two men, their spouse, their fiancés, whatever, the source of their life. So when they were gone, fear came in. See, Lot's daughters teaches us that when God is not the center of your life, fear will not be far. When God is not the center of your life, fear will be present. When God is not the center of your life, fear will dominate you. And this is what happened to these girls. Because I'm convinced, had these daughters been centered on God, and God was the center, and God was their world, even though they lost their home, they lost their job, they lost their spouse, they lost whatever, they would have said, my Redeemer still lives, God is still in control, God still has a purpose, God still has a plan, and I trust Him, and fear would not have dominated, and they would have definitely feared a lot less. But that's not how the story goes. The story says that they put everything on this wedding. They put everything on this future marriage. They put all their worth on this one man. And that when that was gone, their hopes went with it. So when God is not the center of your life, it's no wonder fear and anxiety and worry constantly ruin you emotionally, maybe physically, or even spiritually. Let me explain to you how this fear works. It's quite interesting because we see it in the lives of Lot's daughters. See, in verse 31, it shows us that when our expectations and our plans fail, and things in your life didn't work out the way you thought, which will happen, fear starts, number one, with assumption. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know who you are, but the reason anxiety and worry and panic is in your life is because God has given us this amazing gift of imagination. God says in Ephesians 3:20 that He can do more than we imagine. God has given us this amazing gift of imagination because He gives us imagination to picture the greatness of who He is. But see, Satan turns that imagination to turn it into the worst scenario. And right now, the worst case scenario is playing in your mind. And you're starting to believe it. And some of you, like Lot's daughters, because of what you've gone through in your past, because of your failed expectations and dreams and hopes and problems and what someone did that you never saw coming, now all these assumptions begin to take place in your mind. And you begin to have wrong assumptions that will cause you to believe a lie. That's all Satan has to do, is get you to assume wrong, to believe a lie. So what false assumptions might you be under today that's not aligned with the Word of God? And then when false assumption comes, then anxiety comes, and all of a sudden, it's ruining everything in your life. Some of you go to bed anxious. You wake up anxious. You drive anxious. You have anxious thoughts, anxious feeling. Anxiousness and anxiety is so different because anxiety is a constant worry about the same thing. I wonder what anxiety you carry today. And we live in a world that's dominated by anxiety, and we're so obsessed with getting rid of it through substances and distractions and everything else. But God, you know, God says, do not be anxious about anything. So if there's anxiety in your life, you are in direct sin with God. Because your anxiety has just told God, I have no faith in your word. Any place in the Bible God says do not, it's a direct command, is it not? And when you do what He says do not, is that not disobedience? So the fact that God says don't be anxious tells me that I can live a life free from anxiety. Otherwise, God would not tell me to do it. So when wrong assumptions comes into place, because some of you, like these daughters, you have made the worst choice of your life under false assumption. Then you become anxious about your life. Especially what the Bible clearly says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Notice how God just pinpointed where the most anxiety is found. Why tomorrow? Because tomorrow represents the unknown. And let me just explain why we fear the unknown. Because what I don't know, I have no control over. And control gives you a sign of peace, doesn't it? Because you're sinful, prideful. And as long as you have control, I have peace. But it's impossible for you to control what you cannot see. It's impossible for you to control what you can't understand. And it's impossible for you to control what you don't know. That's why the greatest anxiety that people have today is not in their past. In fact, I believe it's not even what you're going through presently. I think the most anxious your mind is at right now is on Monday morning. Next year. Some of you are so crazy, you're at 10 years from now. But isn't anxiety of the future the worst? But you know why God says, do not be anxious about tomorrow? Because God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning, I'm the God of your past, the God of your present, and because I'm the God of eternity, I'm in your tomorrow, and I go ahead of you preparing the way. That's why we can't have fear in our lives, because you're trying to figure something out. God has already figured it out, because God doesn't just stand with you. God is way ahead of you. And He's preparing the way. It's like when you're following someone on the road, but they're way ahead of you and they see traffic. A few weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was stuck in 2 hour traffic at 12 o'clock at night in the Palmetto. Crazy accident. But me being the loving pastor and brother that I am, I knew that my brother Danny, who was getting out of work, would have the same route. And you know what I did? I called him and I said, listen, don't go on the Palmetto. It's crazier than usual. It's more backed up than ever. And he says, thanks. And he went another way and got home first. Why? Because I was ahead and I knew what was coming. That's what God means when He says, I go ahead of you. Whatever you're fearing in your tomorrow, God has already experienced it. And He's already made a way. So God right now, I don't understand it, but God right now is in your Monday morning. He's experiencing what you will experience 10 years from now, 20 years from now. God is so awesome that He says, I not only go with you day by day, I jump ahead of you and prepare the way so you can face tomorrow. So you're anxious about tomorrow. This is how fear works. First comes false assumption. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I can't do this? What if this happens in my life? What if I can't figure this out? And your worst case scenario plays out. And when that happens, your body naturally cannot tell what's an assumption and what's reality. So in your natural state, anxiety comes in. And the Bible says that fear could lead you the wrong way. The third step that happens is exactly what Lot's daughters did. In their pride, remember I said that fear is a result of us wanting control. Whatever I control, I have peace over. So Lot's daughters came up with this sinful plan to take matters into their own hands and make it happen. Isn't that a source of pride? When God hasn't given you a direction, when God hasn't given you an answer, when God is not clear of what He's doing, you get so anxious that you clearly think that God has forgotten about you. And in your pride and in your sin and in your anxiety, you say, I have to do something. I have to make it happen because clearly God won't. How many things in your life have you taken control over and now you're living a life that's a mess? How many things in your life God says, stay away, don't put your hands on that. And you say, but God, I have to. And there are certain situations and people you're trying to control and fix that God never asked you to control and fix. What's in your hand right now that should never even be in your hand? You take matters into your own hands. And you say, I'm going to make it happen because it's not happening. So you begin to do all these things and make these choices and try to figure things out. Exactly what they did. They knew it was wrong because in order for them to accomplish it, they had to get their father drunk. Why? Because if their father was in the right mind and right senses, he would not have allowed them. Any choice you have to make that you have to deceive is not from God. Every choice you make that you have to lie to get is not from God. Anything in your life you have to sin to accomplish is not from God. And if it's not from God, it's not gonna work. But the older one said, let's just do this. Because there is no one in the world. And sister, I hate to admit it, but we're gonna die single. And we'll never be mamas. And if we're not a mama, then we have no purpose. We have no identity. We have no self-worth. So one night, they got through with it. The second night, they got through with it. Got pregnant. And what happened as a result? It's crazy. But the Bible says from this came two massive nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And if you read the Old Testament, you're going to read just about every chapter, the Moabites and the Ammonites made the Israelites' life impossible. The Moabites attacked them, robbed them, killed a few of them. The Ammonites took advantage of them. Do you know how long this took place? Matthew 1:17, the Bible clears, it tells us, so all generations from Abraham to David, this is this generation I'm talking about, the generation of Lot's daughters, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Why is this important? Because David was the one that finally put an end to the Moabites and Ammonites. But you know what that tells me? He put an end to it only after 14 generations. You don't think your choices matter. Your choices will affect tomorrow like you have no idea. 14 generations later, the choice to take control, the choice to make it happen, affected everything God was trying to accomplish. And you don't understand, but I'm going to make it clear. Whatever you're trying to do yourself without God will not work, and it will affect your life. Whether that's a business, raising a family, a marriage, your finances, a job, any place in your life that God is not in, God cannot work. 14 generations of war, conflict, crisis. And it all started with fear. Fear that God did not have a plan for them. Fear that God could not supply them with a spouse. Fear that God could not get them out of this situation. So Lot's daughters, they show me what I want to show you. False assumption is when you have wrong thinking. Right now, you guys are governed by wrong thoughts. How do you know it's a wrong thought? Any thought that's not aligned with the Word of God is wrong. And when you have wrong thinking, it leads to wrong feeling. So fear first starts in your mind and it transfers over to your emotions. And when that's in your emotions, it's only a matter of time until you act on what you feel. That's what's called an emotional decision. How many of you have damaged your life because of an emotional decision? Some of you quit jobs you should never have quit. Divorced people you should never have divorced. Done things you should never have done. All because assumption and emotions were your deciding factors for your choices. So Lot's daughters had wrong assumptions, therefore they had wrong thoughts, and those wrong thoughts turned to wrong emotions, and those wrong emotions turned into wrong actions. So you're saying, well, Pastor, what do I do? Because I feel like Lot's daughters. I feel like my world has ended. Everything I started, everything I've done hasn't worked out. What do I do when everything has disappointed me? People, my dreams, my future, my plans, nothing has worked out. Ask yourself, where is God? Is he in the center or on the sidelines? It's sad because when the Patriots win tonight, we know they're going to win. I'm sorry. There's going to be people that are going to get a Super Bowl ring that never even played a game. You know, the person that serves water gets a ring. Do you know that the person that's throwing towels gets a ring? And he celebrates along with all the other players that participated. And that makes me sick. Because there's a lot of you that want the same rewards of those that are genuinely following Jesus, but you don't want to participate. You want to serve God on the sidelines. And then you want all the benefits of those players that are sacrificing their bodies to get that ring. I'm sorry, NFL, that's not right. But it's even sadder because that's what's happening in the church. I ask you again, is God the center of your life? How do you know he's the center? God makes all your choices. Every choice you make, you pray about and you go to the Word of God for. You seek him, you follow him, you worship him, you pray, you study. God is the center of your life. But don't expect God to give you the same blessing as someone that is having him in the center of his life when you're just serving him on the sidelines. So the reality is, the first step to get out of this fear and fear less in your life is put God back where he belongs. Make God your world again, or maybe for the first time. And God shows us if fear is dominating your life, Psalm 56:3. When I'm afraid, did you catch that, by the way? What's that first word? When? Anyone that says Christians should never be afraid. God never said if, because fear is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it comes into your life. When I'm afraid, I will, here's a choice. I will, say it, I will, not might. Maybe, if I feel it, if I have time, if I'm up for it, that's sideline talk. I will put my trust in my job, in my spouse, in my money. No. When I'm afraid, are you afraid today? When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. I wonder what would have happened if Lot's daughters would have applied this principle. Were they afraid? Absolutely. Was wrong assumption present? Yes. Was anxiety in their hearts? Absolutely. But what if they would have said, rather than taking matters into my own hands, trying to figure things out, why don't I allow God to just do what he can in the areas where I can't? Some of you are lying to yourself that you trust God. And I'll prove this to you. It's in our money. It's in our currency. We live in a nation that declares they trust God. Really? Anyone can say, we trust God. And maybe you're saying that because you've trusted in Jesus Christ for your soul in eternity, but what about for your life here on earth? God says, trust me. And how do you know you're trusting him? I'm going to explain to you what trust, you got to know what trust really looks like. You ever pick up a nice bouquet of flowers? And this is what happens. We We tend to admire the end, the outcome, the flourishing moment. We tend to, no one goes into a store and says, man, what a beautiful dirt. We tend to admire only the finished product, don't we? But you know, you can admire this from a distance and man, those are beautiful, whatever they are, daisies, flowers, whatever. That's great. But if we're wanting this, we understand that it was a process. A process that started off like this. Nothing. The seed was in there, but you couldn't see it. You know that God has already planted the seed of your destiny inside you, but doesn't mean that you're going to see it all the time. But our lives look like this. And you're telling God, no, God, I want to see the finished product. And God says, but I want to see you go through the process. Sideline Christian, you. If you put me in the center, I'll put you in the process. If I put you in the process, you're aligned with the blessing. What do you want? But we complain because we don't see what God is doing in our lives. We complain because it's not fair. Other people are flourishing, not me. So let's say you get mad. And you say, God, it's not fair. You haven't done anything. So I want to explain something to you. We have trust all twisted. See, one person thinks that trust means you do nothing. Therefore, we have a lazy Christian. Some of you are, how do we say, I'm believing God for? I'm trusting God for? But there's some things you'll never get from God because you don't want to put the work for it. So you're trusting God for financial stability. But you still have to work and get a job. Oh. You're trusting God to fix your marriage. But you still have to wake up and respect them and honor them and love them and date them once in a while. Why don't you? Put the work in it. No, I'm trusting God to fix my marriage. So I'm not going to do any work. Good luck with that, buddy. I'm trusting God with my health. But I'm going to still stick this cigarette in my mouth and eat this donut and live life whatever I want to eat, I do. But I'm trusting God for my health. But you don't want to exercise. You know, I'm trusting God every Sunday when I'm up on this stage to speak through me. But you know that all week long I'm in prayer, I'm in the Word, I'm studying. Why? Because trusting God never meant you do nothing. Trusting God means I do what I can and I trust God with what I can't. Do. So while I do what I can do, what is it in your life you can't do? Because there are certain things and people you can't change. And if you can't do it, guess what? That's where you leave it to God. But it doesn't mean trust God and do nothing. Trust means you do what you can. So I want the outcome. You know, I want the finished product. But you know that a seed had to be planted, dirt had to be laid, water had to be poured, sunlight had to come. That's work. So some of you want this from God without the work. And that's why you're stuck. And then there's other people that say, I can't trust God at all. Maybe that's you today. How can I trust God that let me down? How can I trust God that disappointed me? So then you get mad and you say, you know what? I'm going to take this seed into my own hands. And how many of you believe right now, if I hold it really tight, eventually a beautiful bouquet is going to come out of my hands? Show of hands. Who believes that? But this is what you do with God. I'm going to take my life in my hands. How has that helped you in your life? I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. I'm going to handle this. I got this. Nothing changes. Nothing happens. But things get worse because now I'm left with a mess. Some of you right now, because you wanted to take matters into your own hands, you've made a mess of your life. And God said, I never wanted this for you. But it was your choice not to trust me. See, Lot's daughters, they made a mess for 14 generations because they couldn't trust God at all. They couldn't be patient. They couldn't wait. What is it in your life right now you just can't wait for anymore? And you say, God, I'm tempted to just do it on my own. This is a warning for you. If you do what God has never commanded you to do, handle what God has never asked you to handle, you'll make it worse. And you'll never see the finished product of God in your life. So you're here today and you're living with fear and anxiety. As we close, I want you to understand this. You're here today and you're saying, Pastor, how do I fear less? I'm fearing the worst, the wrong assumption. See, last week we talked about disappointment, but now this week we're talking about wrong assumptions based on your disappointment. And many of you right here today, you're living on the wrong assumption. And the devil has you trapped in fear. The devil has you trapped in anxiety. Maybe you're here and you're on one side, you're lazy. And you've used trusting God as an excuse to do nothing about what you want God to do in your life and change. And then maybe you're on the other side and you're not trusting God at all because in your selfish pride, you're saying, I can fix this. I can do it. And some of you, you've made a mess of your life because you thought you can do it on your own without God. But any area of your life that God is not in will be a mess. Well, think about that. You're living in anxiety, constant fear of the future, wondering what's going to happen. What if this happens? I'll tell you what I tell myself when I talk to myself. When the devil puts wrong assumptions and worst case scenario in my head, you know what I tell the devil? If that would actually happen, God will still be God. God will still be in control. And man, if that would happen, when God gets me out, that'd be a great testimony. Because step by step, my family and I have just trusted God. We've done what we could. And we've allowed God to do the rest. But see, sometimes we do what we do while we wait on God. Doesn't mean that God's going to do it right away. You need patience. You need to wait. See, if we would go back in time and look at Lot's daughters before they did this weird thing, you would tell them, wait. Wouldn't you tell them, listen, I know you think that there's not a man on earth, but the truth is, just on the other side of this mountain, there is an entire nation called Israel. Abraham. A lot of men there, trust me. Good looking ones too. Just on the other side of the mountain. The truth was there. But some of us, we're on the other side of the mountain where lies are being told. But just on the other side of the mountain, God is providing. Just on the other side, God is answering. Just on the other side, God is working. But you're here today and you sound like that baby. You're just crying all the time about what happened in your past. What happened? It didn't work out. It failed. But maybe you can confess and say, you know what? God is true. I want the same blessings of someone that has you in the center of their life, but I want to do it from the sidelines. And you've put God aside. And that's why he's brought you here today. Because he's allowed things in your life to fail, not work out, fall apart, and get messy to show you you're nothing. Amen. Living with anxiety. A lie that we believe is that anxiety is a result of what's happening to you. And I don't believe that. Because there are many people going through what you're going through, but I guarantee they're not handling it the way you're handling it. Anxiety is not a result of what you're going through. Anxiety is a result not only of what's happening to you. Anxiety is a result of what's happening inside you. And inside you, there's wrong assumption. There's lies. There's deceitfulness. Satan has you believing the worst about God's best for your life. And I prayed about this. Honestly, I prayed. And I said, Lord, why all the anxiety? Why all the panic today in this world? Why all the fear? And I'm just talking about people in church that call themselves believers. You can believe Jesus for your soul in eternity, but you can't believe him for your children. You can believe God for heaven, but you can't believe God for your finances. You can believe God for your life after life. But you can't believe God for your health. If God took care of the biggest problem in your life, which was your sin separating yourself from God, and he did that through Jesus Christ, what else has he taken care of for you? But you know why anxiety is in your life? You want to know? Hit your neighbor right now and say, hey, he's about to tell you. Go ahead, tell him he's about to tell you. Because you're looking pretty anxious today. Came into church looking all crazy, messy. I'm going to tell you the truth, but the truth hurts. But it'll bless you. Ready? Say ready.
Ready.
All right. 1 Peter 5:6. This is, I believe, one of the verses we read the worst, man. We put it on plaques, bumper stickers, whatever. Right? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all anxiety on him because he cares for you. And you're like, oh. Say, oh, he cares for me. So we have these little cookie cutter sermons that say, he's caring for you. So don't be anxious. He cares for you, so you'll get through this. Why is it that we only read it at the part we like? Cast all cares. I'm casting it. Because he cares for me. But listen, you got to read this as a whole verse. Therefore, humble yourself. Here's the honest God truth. Ready? You know why you're anxious? Because you're prideful. Why else would God say it? He didn't say, trust me and cast, love me and cast. He said, humble yourself and cast. And it hit me. I never thought about it till this week. I said, ah, wait a minute. And you know what? God hit me first. I said, oh my gosh, I'm prideful. If I'm prideful, my church is definitely prideful. And I realized, wow, what a prideful thing to say. And it only proves my point. We're prideful. Some of you right now, you're so prideful, you're disagreeing with me. Why are you disagreeing with me? Because you're prideful. You lose. Gotcha. Here's the truth. You're prideful. Say it. I'm prideful. That's why I have anxiety. Casting your care on God because he cares for you requires great humility. Why? Because whatever I cast to God, I'm acknowledging I can't control. I can't fix. I can't handle. I don't have the answers for. It takes a humble person to tell God, I don't know what to do. I can't do this anymore. I don't have control over this. So God, you take care of it. And he's like, I will. That's great humility. Because prideful people say, I got this. I can fix this. I can do this. I don't need anyone. I can do it on my own. I can rely on my own strength and experience and knowledge. Everything God has given you, by the way. So anxiety is a result of pride. First, it's a prideful thing because you feel like whatever you haven't cast to God yet, you haven't cast it because you feel you can fix it. That's pride. Second, anxiety about your life is prideful. This one hurt me and it's going to hurt you. Because you feel you're so awesome, you deserve a great life from God. And that's why you're anxious about your future, because your sinful mind is so prideful, you're convinced you deserve a future. You're anxious about your finances because you're convinced in your pride you deserve to have financial stability. You're anxious about your singleness because in your pride you feel you deserve a spouse. You're anxious about your lack of children bearing because in your mind you're so prideful you feel you deserve a child. You see where I'm going with this? Why do you deserve a promotion? Why do you deserve a job? Why do you deserve a spouse? Why do you deserve to be acknowledged? Because pride tells you to. I worked hard, God. Therefore, I deserve this. I sacrificed, God. Therefore, you should do this for me. But a real humble person admits even the breath in his lungs, he's not deserving of. You want less stress and more peace? Live as though you deserve nothing. Well, that's not nice, yeah. But that's your pride. And lastly, anxiety is a sign of pride. Because some of you, you're leaning on your own understanding and logic and reasoning and not the Word of God. And you're depending on what you understand about a situation. You're depending on what you're seeing, what you feel, what your opinion is. And you're not even caring about the Word of God. That's pride. A prideful person leans on his own understanding, but a humble person trusts God at all times and acknowledges Him. Do you get it now? You want to fear less? Humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. You want to fear less? Say, Lord, I deserve nothing, but in your grace, this is my desire. But Lord, if you don't answer it the way I want, I understand. You want to fear less? Start having faith in God's word and stop having faith in what you understand. And peace will come into your life. Let's bow our heads today. You're here today and you're saying, Pastor, anxiety is all over my life. The devil will lie to you randomly. These random thoughts will come that bring great fear and anxiety. Random thoughts that tell you, what are you going to do? And what if this happens? And how are you going to get out of this one? And anxiety has robbed you of your faith in what God has said. And maybe like Lot's daughters, anxiety is so plagued in your mind that there's a need for you to take control and do it on your own. But you can't trust God for what you want. You can't trust God to fix the circumstance you're in. Maybe you're here today and the Lord just touched you because you know that God has you right now and He loves you more than He could ever love you, more than anyone can ever love you. But right now, you're not giving that same love back to God. You have God on the sidelines. You're worried about tomorrow and God says, don't. Do what you can and I'll do the rest. And if it's impossible, well, good luck. No, there's no luck in God. God is a God of the impossible. Your understanding might tell you there's no way. Just like the understanding of Lot's daughter was, there's not a single man in this world. Maybe you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, I wish I heard this message X amount of time ago. Because in my fear and in my pride, I made some bad decisions. There are people I dated I should never have dated. There are things I quit I should never have quit. There are lies I believed I should never have believed. Is it too late for you? Absolutely not. Because I love it, because through the Moabites, David defeated them. But through the Moabites came Ruth. And Ruth met Boaz. An impossible relationship according to Hebrew culture. And Ruth the Moabite was a result of a mistake 14 generations ago. But God said, through these Moabites, I'm going to bring a woman named Ruth who's going to marry a man named Boaz. And through this line, it's going to come Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. What does this mean? God can work all things for good for those who love Him. So no matter what mistake you've made, in Jesus' name, it has been forgiven if it has been confessed. And God is going to use it for His glory. Don't let the devil lie to you about your past and your sin. And maybe God has given you something you feel you don't deserve. It's true, you don't deserve it, but enjoy it. It is a blessing from God. It is a testimony that He has forgiven you. He loves you. He loved you then at your worst, and He'll love you even more right now, even if you're still at your worst. But there is no mess that God can't fix and use Jesus in. Devil's mad this morning because he knows for some of you here, fear will have no place in your life anymore. Father, I thank you, and I thank you right now for all the church people here with every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today and you're saying, God, I'm a mess. God, I'm prideful. God, I need you. You do what this man's doing right now. You come before the altar right now. This is a message for the church today. Don't be ashamed. All of us have fear. All of us make mistakes. All of us are a mess. But true surrender is giving it to God. You come forward right now. You're saying, God, I'm coming forward and I'm acknowledging that I'm humbling myself and I'm surrendering this to you. If it's a person, give them to God. If it's a desire and a dream, give it to God. If it's a past mistake and sin, give it to God. But God doesn't want you living under anxiety anymore. If you have God on the sidelines, it's time for you to get Him back in the center. God has always been in the center. It is you that have gone to the side. Come back to God and make Him the center of your life. You've made a mess of things. That's okay. It's been a long time since you've prayed to God. He's here right now. He's waiting for you. Whether it's a child, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a sickness, right now, whatever the mess is, God can turn for glory. But He needs a humble heart, a humble servant that says, Lord, I don't deserve anything from you, but I come to you in humility and out of grace. Would you just make something out of this mess that I've created? The fear has led you to make wrong choices, but in faith, God can get you back on track. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here who's gone off, who has strayed, who has made bad choices, whose fear has dominated their thinking and their confidence. Father, our confidence is in you, and when we are afraid, we will trust in you. So I pray for every man, every woman, every child right now that's under fear and bondage. Set them free in the name of Jesus, Lord. Set them free from fear. Set them free from anxiety and the panic attacks in Jesus' name will never happen again, because the word of God will replace the thoughts of the enemy in your heart right now. Father, take these prayers, take those prayers of those listening online, those sitting down, and those in the altar. Take every prayer, Father, as we surrender, and forgive us of our pride. We deserve nothing from you, but everything we have is a gift of blessing from you. Father, thank you for the fact that you can create a mess and a blessing at the same time. And through a mess came Jesus. So no matter how messy you think you are, Jesus is not an impossible concept for you. You come forward right now, Father, bless them. Father, save them, deliver them. In Jesus' name, we will fear less. Amen. Give God a shout of praise today if that's you today. Amen. Amen. God.